Let us pray and get started. Father, we just thank you and we praise you and give you the glory, Lord God. Father, this is the day that you made and we will rejoice and be glad in it, Father. Father, we thank you that you open our eyes that we see, our ears to hear, and you give us a heart to understand exactly what you're saying to us. We give you praise and glory in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen. All right, let's go through our last six on our duties executed by the apostle. I think we've covered the first 20, so we'll do the last six of them, I believe. The next duty, which is number 21, duties that are executed by an apostle. Number 21 says to enforce. Apostles are spiritual enforcers. They enforce the kingdom conduct, holiness, and biblical standards of righteousness. To enforce means to put or keep in force, to compel obedience. Number 22, apostles convert. Apostles convert people to the laws and cultures of the kingdom. They turn people from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God. Scripture reference on that, you can look at Acts 3:19, 26, and 28. 26:18. Acts 3:19 and Acts 26:18. Number 23, apostles are to train. Apostles train and educate ministers. They develop leadership. Apostles train and educate ministers. They develop leadership. Number 24, apostles ordain. Apostles ordain and set in place qualified leadership. Again, a scripture reference you want to look at is Titus 1:5. This includes selection and confirmation. Apostolic ordination releases fruitfulness. Also see John 15 and 16. All these are scripture references that you can go back and look at and see what the apostle does. Number 25, the apostles confront. Apostles confront false teachings, witchcraft, immorality, anything that will keep the church from fulfilling its purpose. The apostolic anointing is a confrontational anointing. Again, scripture reference, see Galatians 2 and 11. And the last one is apostle finishes. Apostles are focused on finishing. They have an anointing to execute, complete, and fulfill the prophetic plans of God. Again, see John 4 and 34. When an apostle faithfully execute his duties, the people who have been birthed into the kingdom and disciplined by his ministry will be faithful epistles to all men, reflecting the apostolic dimension in such a way that they will be effective in the ministries to which God has called them. And so you again go back, look at these various duties that's executed by an apostle. And then you can understand why we have an apostle and why we are pushing God's government so hard in the church. Last week, last class, when we left, we started giving you some key characteristics of an apostolic environment and culture. And the first point I gave you in this, an apostolic environment focused on heaven, allowing prayer, worship, miracle, signs, and wonders to become normal in our daily life. And I keep stressing this because this is what the church is supposed to be doing. We're supposed to be seeing signs, miracles, wonders. And it should be not just something that happened occasionally. It should be something happen on a daily basis as we walk in our daily life. It should be natural to us as breathing. We don't have to think about breathing. Signs, wonders, and miracles should be as natural to us as breathing. The apostolic role is not designed to address directly the needs of the people. We took you over in Acts 6, where those widows was neglected in their daily ministry. And what the apostles did, they appointed those, what I call them, table waiters to go out and do. And the apostles say they should spend their time in prayer and ministry of the word. What the apostles basically is trying to do, again, is find out what heaven wants here on earth and bring that to, find out what heaven wants and bring that to earth. I got an echo in my ear. So my sounds are coming out to me funny because I just got off a plane, so it's echoing. So if the increasing needs of the people were a distraction to their role and anointing, it is not that they did not care about the people, but they made sure that the people's needs was taken care of in the community. The apostle has to have freedom, again, to pursue heaven. If she or he is going to be effectively going to fulfill an apostolic role. So they have to be spend their time in prayer and in studying of the word in order to fulfill their apostolic calling. The downside of this, there is a downside, if we can call it a downside, when an apostle pursues his or her calling without the other ministry graces in place, several issues creep into their environment and threaten success for the apostolic leader. And part of that is the people get concerned about their needs more so than what heaven wants here on earth. And sometimes the apostle seems like he's been neglecting the people, and they get upset because of that. And then we have what we call the backdoor movement, where people get up and leave the church because they feel their needs are being met. And that's one of the downsides of an apostle when an apostle's in place. But if the other ministries are in place, then that can be eliminated. So it won't be a downside. Again, worship and supernatural activity are priorities in their environment and the lifestyle of the saints, because God's presence is the top priority. God's presence is the top priority. You know, tonight I'm going through, I'm just giving you some pointers tonight. I will get into some scriptures and I'll show you some scripture, but I want to make sure you get some of this information. Worship and supernatural activity are priorities in an apostolic environment and the lifestyle of the saints, because God's presence is the top priority. And one of the things that you have to realize, when God's presence shows up, God's protection is there. God's provision is there. God's power is there. God's plans are there, and his purposes. So he always shows that he don't just show up empty hand. He's always coming to let the people know. So that's why the apostle is constantly looking to heaven, find out what heaven wants. Again, what heaven wants here on the earth, and bringing that to earth. Find out what heaven wants and bringing. He's establishing the kingdom of God here on earth. The saints are sent in an apostolic environment. The saints are sent as Jesus was sent, to destroy the works of the devil. That's including sickness, disease, affliction, lack, poverty, and the search. So when they are sent as Jesus was sent, these things should take place. When Jesus was here on earth, 1 John 3:8, it says, turn over to 1 John 3:8. We'll look at our first scripture for the night, and we're talking about how Jesus was sent. 1 John 3:8, it says, he that committed sin is of the devil, for the devil sinned it from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. And so anytime a believer comes in contact with the works of the devil, he should be just like Jesus. Like Jesus said, he said, the works that I do shall you do also, and greater works, because I go unto my Father. So he was actually sent here to destroy the works of the devil. Again, turn to John 12, 44. In John 12 and 44, I'm talking about Jesus himself being sent. In order for us to operate in the kingdom, we have to be sent out to do the works of the kingdom. We just can't up and go and do the works ourselves, but we have to be sent. Here in John 12 and 44, it says, Jesus cried and said, he that believeth on me, believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. So he's saying, when you believe on me, you're not just believing on me, you're believing on the one that sent him. And he's talking about the Father sent him to destroy the works of the devil. It turned to Mark chapter 3, the disciples was also sent. And what the Bible does is shows us principles in the Bible. And when we operate the principles the way God sent it up, then the results that they receive, we receive the exact same results. These are principles that God gave to us. And so, if you're going to do the works of the kingdom, then you have to be sent. And that's what an apostle does. He look out amongst the congregation. He finds individuals. He see the anointing on those individuals. And then he sends them out to destroy, again, to destroy the works of the devil. Over here in Mark chapter 3. Looking at verse 14, Mark chapter 3, looking at verse 14, it says, and he ordained 12 that they should be with him, and that he might send them forth to preach. That was the first thing he said, that he might. So he had to send them. He had to ordain them first. Then he said he might send them forth to preach and to have power to heal sicknesses and to cast out demons. So it seemed like the same thing that Jesus was sent to do, that the Jesus ordained his apostles to do the exact same thing. So anytime you get ready to do anything for the kingdom of God, you have to be sent. Now, we have been sent by Jesus himself. If you turn over to Mark 16, and you'll see where we've been sent. But there's still a work that we have to do. In Mark chapter 16, looking at verse 15. And so this is where we are sent. He says, Mark 16 and 15, he says two places. He says over in Matthew 28, but he also says it here. He says, Mark 16 and 15, he said, and he said unto them, go ye. And that's talking about you. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Verse 16 says, and he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues, they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Seems like sickness is always part of what we as believers should be taking care of. Anytime we run up on sickness and disease, we should be trying to eliminate it. That's part of the signs and the wonders. Sickness and disease is, again, it's from Satan himself. Anytime there's sickness and disease, it does not come from the Father. It comes from Satan. So, and we again is here to destroy the works of the devil. Turn to Matthew chapter 28. Looking at verse 18. Matthew 28 and 18. And so when Jesus came to the earth, when he was sent, he understood there were some things that was given to him. We are God and spoke that in our lives. And when we are trained and taught and become mature in the things of God, and then we can understand that these same things and these same anointings that Jesus had on his life has been given to us also. When we came into the kingdom, Acts 1 and 8 tells us when the Holy Ghost came, the same power that Jesus operated in while he was on the earth, we can operate in that same power, the same works that Jesus did while he was on the earth. We can do the exact same thing that he did because he went to his Father. Luke 24 and 49, he said, "Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye here in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high." So he had to leave. And when he left, he sent the Holy Spirit. Even the Holy Spirit was sent to us who are believers, who are in the kingdom, so we can operate in the kingdom. So even Jesus was sent. The Holy Spirit had to be sent. When Jesus went and sat on the right hand of God the Father, he sent the Holy Spirit to us so we can operate in the kingdom the way Jesus did while he was here. So in Acts, in Matthew 28, here he says it again, 28 and 18, he said, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." That's all power. He said, all power has been given to me in heaven and in earth. Now he's sending out his disciples, the one who learned of him. That's, again, if you go back and think about what we taught you in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, where he says that he gave us apostles, he gave us prophets, he gave us evangelists, pastors, and teachers. He said, for the perfecting of the saints. So again, we have to be mature. Perfected means mature. So we have to be perfected. He said, for the work of the ministry and for the edifying of the body of Christ, until we all come into the stature of the fullness of Christ Jesus. So again, the word of God is telling us what Jesus did while he was here on the earth, we should be doing the same things. And then here in Matthew 28, verse 19, he said, you go ye therefore and teach all nations. He said, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And he said, lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. So he said, when you go, and you know, if you're in the kingdom, he said, you know, I'm going with you wherever you go. When you're not doing the works, so just as Jesus said, he said, I do not do the works. He said, the Father that's in me, he do the works. I only speak what I hear my Father say. I only do what I see my Father do. So if his Father, he saw his Father walk up on sickness and disease, he walked up on it and he destroyed the works of the devil by destroying that which is not part of the kingdom. That's who we are. That's when we go. That's what we should be doing. Let me give you some more pointers here, and then I go back to some more scriptures. The apostle has to have freedom to pursue heaven if he or she is going to be effectively going to fulfill an apostolic call. Worship and supernatural activity are priorities in the environment and the lifestyle of the saint because God's presence is the top priority. I keep emphasizing these. The saints are sent as Jesus was to destroy the works of the devil, including sickness, disease, and affliction. The saints live to demonstrate to all the people on earth that God is always good and the devil is always bad. God is always good and the devil is always bad. So when someone come up on sickness and disease, once they get a revelation of who Jesus and what he's done in him and the words that he's spoken to them, such as turn to Second Peter. First Peter 2 and 24. So when you're attacked by sickness and disease and you find out what Jesus have already provided for you, this particular passage of scripture, he says a couple of times, but this one you want to look at. He say, who his own self bear our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. So again, that is a done deal. So he's talking about the body of Christ should be healed. And so if sickness attacks your body, one of the things that you should always hear, he said, my sheep hear my voice, and the voice of a stranger they will not follow. Sickness and disease is the voice of a stranger. Now, what's happening is when we hear of sickness, we are not hearing it in our spirits, because our spirit know by his stripes that we are here, but we're hearing it in our mind, in our thought process, in our emotions. So when the word of God comes to us, again, he tell us over in Romans 12 too, he said, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might know what is a good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So he said, my perfect will for you is that you don't conform to this world. When the enemy deceive you with sickness or with disease, then you find out what my word has said. And when you find out what the word has said, then you follow that word. You do that word. You just do that and don't concern yourself. Because what's happening is the enemy is trying to deceive you that he can attack you. But he's a defeated foe. He's already been defeated. And because he has been defeated, then he's going to try to conceal you. It says he walks around as a roaring lion, seeking whom he might devour. He said he's not a roaring lion. He walks around as a roaring lion, seeking. So if you listen to him and you allow him to deceive you, then guess what's going to happen? You're going to receive that which he's trying to tell you. And then you're gonna take it on as yours. You're gonna say it's mine. So, and that's what happened to many believers. So as we are being taught, as we've been trained how to operate in this kingdom through the apostolic government, God's government, sickness and disease is not for the believer. It is a deception of the enemy, and Jesus was sent that he might destroy those works. Sickness and disease is signs and wonders. As our apostle has been ministering to us, signs, wonders, and miracles are not God's best. He's told us that blessings are God's best. We are God's best. He told us that in Ephesians 1 and 3, he said, for God has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That means that everything that we need to operate on the earth has already been provided for us. And what we are to do is begin to walk in it, receive what God says through faith and through grace. He provided for us. And so since he's provided for us, we are to receive it and to operate. Turn to 1 John 3, 3 John and 3 John 3:2. And this is God's best for us. 3 John 2. Here in 3 John 2, this is a word of God. He says, Apostle John is speaking. He said, beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. So if your soul is not prospering and being helped, then your body is not going to prosper and be in health, because now you got your soul telling you what the enemy is saying unto you. So you're taking on that which the enemy is telling you. But if you take your spirit and you conform, you Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then your mind is being renewed. Your spirit is already taking on that which God says you has already been provided for you. And so, again, as our apostle has been ministering to us and telling us that now we got two against one. And so the body is going to follow along with whatever the spirit and the soul is saying. So basically where we lose our battles, where we lose every battle is in our mind, in our emotion, in our thought process. And if we can get that thought process in line with the word of God, that's why the word of God tells us. Turn to 2 Timothy. As the scriptures pop up, I'll see if I can get them to you so you can have them and I can point them out to you. And again, I'm a pointer. I point you out to the scripture. Then it's up to the Holy Spirit to reveal to you what he's saying to you in the scriptures. So Second Timothy chapter 2, looking at verse 15. And this part of this renewing our mind, renew our mind, we just can't come to church on a Sunday morning or Wednesday night. There's some works that we have to do ourselves in the kingdom of God. There's some things that we have to do. So in here in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, the word of God tells us to study, to show thyself approved unto God. He say, a workman that needed not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So the word of God is telling us, in order for us to know, in order for our mind to be transformed, we have to study. We have to find out what God is saying through his word. And then once we study, and then the Holy Spirit going to come and he's going to show us exactly how that particular passage of scripture is going to affect my everyday life. How can I live in this kingdom with total victory in every situation? My mind have to be transformed. And in order for my mind to be transformed, I have to study. And like, again, it's not to study so I can myself, for instance, I don't study so I can come and teach you and show you how much I know. I have to study to proven to God, who were a workman that needed not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. The word of God is the word of truth. And so I have to study just so I can know for myself what God is saying. And then once he showed me something, and once he revealed something to me, and then I have to go in and he showed me a scripture, he brings it up, and then I have to meditate that scripture. I have to get everything that God has said in his word out of that scripture so I can operate it in my life. And that's part of what the apostolic is beginning to do for you. You say, well, I'm sitting in these classes right now and, you know, they're giving me a lot of information, but, it doesn't seem to be grasping. I don't seem to be grasping everything that the word of God is given to me. But then one of the things that the Spirit of God showed me a long time ago, I'll turn to Mark chapter 4. And this is where Jesus, he began to teach about the parables. He began to teach about the parables of the sower. And so as he began to teach, I just want to pick out a few scriptures in Mark chapter 4, look at you and let you see it. Here in Mark chapter 4, looking at verse 9. And this is one of the things that Jesus, after he began to explain to them those various parables and what happened when the word of God was sown or when the seed was sown, he said in verse 4 and 9, he said, unto them, He said that he that hath ears to hear, let them hear. So he wasn't just talking about their natural ears, because he knew he was talking. He was saying when he spoke, they could hear the words that was coming out of his mouth. But he was telling them, he said, he that hath ears to hear, let them hear. He was trying to get them to open up their spiritual ears so that they could hear what the Spirit of God was saying to him. Remember over in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, where it says that a natural man cannot receive the things of the Spirit of God. So since he said that, that's your mind process. He said, those who have ears, those who have spiritual ears, let them hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. In verse 11, I skip verse 10. He said, in verse 11, he said unto them, unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to them that are without, all these things are done in parables. So we know we're in the kingdom. Ephesians 2, 19 and 20 tells us that we are in the kingdom. It says we are no more foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens of the household of God, where it's built up on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. So Jesus himself began to teach, and he was teaching the apostles, the disciples that he had called. He was teaching them how the kingdom operates while he was here on earth. He was saying the kingdom is going to be here. He even taught them how to pray that the kingdom come here on earth, that God's will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. So he kept telling them about the kingdom, this kingdom that's coming. When John the Baptist was preaching, he kept talking about the kingdom is coming. But the thing is, it was not a natural kingdom that God was trying to develop on the earth through Jesus. It was a spiritual kingdom that he's bringing here on the earth. And so we have to understand there's another realm. It's not a natural realm. It is a spiritual realm that he's developing here on the earth. He says, verse 12, he said, that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sins should be given unto them. In verse 14, I show you to you in scripture. The Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, he said he didn't come to you in enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and the power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. So God's word, and when you hear God's word, there's enough power, enough anointing in his word to bring that word to pass that you're hearing. And so if you're hearing the word of God, then I don't have to concern myself about what I'm saying. I'm saying what God say. So your place is to receive what he say and have faith what the word of God is saying. He say, verse 13, he said, and said unto them, know ye not this parable, and how then will you know all parables? Verse 14 said, the sower soweth the word. The sower sowed the word. So he's saying here, in this case, what's happening, as the sower comes out, he began to sow the word of word of God. Jesus is saying, he said, the sower sowed the word. And so when I you see that part, turn over, let's go over to verse 26. And Jesus speaking, and he said unto them, because they came to him and they asked him, you know, we don't understand what you're saying in these soul. But you can go back and read the whole chapter for yourself, chapter 4. But I just wanted to point out some things to you. In verse Mark 4 and 26, and Jesus says, so is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring up and grow. He knoweth not how. He said, for the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself. He said, first the blade, then the ear. After that, the full corn in the ear. Spirit of God is saying through Jesus, he said, in the kingdom, it is a process that takes place. It's not something that happens overnight. We come in and we say, well, we're not seeing any signs. We're not seeing any wonders. We're not seeing any miracles, but I'm hearing the word of God. It does not happen overnight. Same thing happened once we re-established God's government in the church. God said, I'm reestablishing my government in the church, but it becomes a process by which we are being trained and taught how to do it. You don't see it all at once, but eventually what will happen, it become as natural, again, as natural as breathing. The sower sowed the word, it becomes part of your life. Joshua 1 and 8, the word of God told Joshua when he got ready to take the children of Israel over into the promised land. He told them they were going to take them over there. He said, but this book of the law should not depart out of your mouth or out of your eyes, but you should meditate in it day and night. And then you make your way prosperous, and then you have good success. That means after you've studied, you got your mind right, your spirit is correct, your spirit has been reborn again, but you got to get that mind right. You got to get this part right here. And so as long as you don't get this part right, then I guess what's going to happen? Your body is going to follow what your mind says, then whatever God says is going to seem like it's not going to work for you. So what in Mark 4:26, he gives us a perfect example. God can do, he can be a sovereign God. He can do things instantly. He can do things immediately. But we who are in the kingdom, something, if it's not happening fast enough for you, you can go back and you can always follow this scripture. One of the most fabulous words that came from a man of God, our apostle, and he says there's never no emergency in the spirit, never an emergency. So if something seems like it's pressing so hard against you, it's never an emergency. You can take that and you can hold on to, you can grip on it, because that's what the word of God is saying here. And God's word is going to always, whatever he said in his word, it's going to come to truth. Go back and think about Numbers 23 and 19. He said, God is not a man that he should lie. He said, if he said it, God said, I will make it good. And so if he said it, then it doesn't seem like it's not working. It's not on God's part. It's on your part. It's the part that you're doing. Your mind have not been renewed as it should have been. And since it have not been renewed, then it's not, you seem like it's not working in your life. I tell you what, we'll make Mark 4:26, because that was a passage of scripture that blessed me tremendously over the years. And so make Mark 4:26 and 27 our meditation scripture for this class. And I'll read it again. He said, that was Jesus, so is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed in the ground and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring up and grow, and he knoweth not how. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself. He said, first the blade, then the ear. After that, the full corn in the ear. So it becomes a process. The process began when you entered into the school of ministry, and the process is going to be going ongoing. Ongoing, ongoing. You're going to be picking up blades, and then you're going to be picking up ears, and you're going to get to the eventually, you're going to begin to see what the Spirit of God is saying. He said, you get the full corn in the ear. Again, the kingdom of God is. I showed you what the kingdom of God here. Let's turn to Romans chapter 14. That's what Jesus was ministering on. What the kingdom? What this kingdom is? What is this kingdom? How we operate in this kingdom? Romans chapter 14, looking at verse 17. And the Apostle Paul here gives us an example of what this kingdom is. He say, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. So again, he says, it's not a natural process. Meat and drink is something that you eat. It's something that you drink. You can taste it. But he says not. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink. He said, but it's righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. So that means even when I'm going through situations and circumstances come up in my life, because of what the Word of God is saying, I can have peace in that situation. I can have joy in that situation, in the Holy Ghost. I can pray in the Spirit and still have peace in that situation, because I know I can get my answer. Because if I'm praying properly, Romans 8:26, it said the Spirit himself helpeth our infirmity. So we got a helper. We got the Holy Ghost. He said the Spirit himself helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. He said, but he that searches the heart knows what is the mind of the Spirit, and he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So what do you find out? What heaven? Again, you can do that yourself by praying in the Holy Ghost, finding out what is the will of God for that situation. And he say, and the next verse 8:28, he say, and we know, see, that's after your mind has been transformed. And we know that all things work together for good for us who love God and who have been called according to his purpose. So that means that now I'm praying the Holy Ghost is going to intercede on my behalf. He's going to find out what the perfect will of God for that situation. And so that's again, there's no emergency in the Spirit. And so we are in this kingdom. And so it's a spiritual kingdom. So anything that comes against you, no matter how detrimental it seems to your life, God said, I can handle that situation. And so if it seemed like something, I have to make a choice, I make an answer right now. You never have to make an answer right now, because we got the Spirit of God and there's no emergency. So God's going to take care of that situation. So in Romans 14:17, it says, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace. That's when we start studying about God's government. God says, of his peace there shall be no end. And then he said, the zeal of the Lord shall perform this. So that's why Jesus, that's why the government is up on his shoulder, so we can have peace here on earth. That's what the kingdom of God wants here on earth for all of us who are in the kingdom. We can have peace. But righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. 2 Corinthians 5:21 is his righteousness that we are walking in. He tells us that again in 2 Corinthians, he said, for he who knew no sin, God made him to be sin for me, that I may be made the righteousness of God in him. So I got his righteousness. I don't have to worry about my righteousness. All I got to do is believe him and receive him. Then I can walk in his righteousness. So when I walk in his righteousness, every promise that this word of God has to offer, I can walk in that which God has promised to me. So he said, the kingdom of God. Again, go back and look at that Romans 4:17, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. It's not a natural kingdom. It's not natural, but it's a spiritual kingdom. And so once we get that part in our thinking process, in our mental process, and not think about what the world, many in the body of Christ, and I talk about myself. When I first started to study the Bible, I tried to receive God in my head. And so I began to ask, how can this be? But then when I found out that it was not in my head that I'm trying to receive God, I should receive God in my spirit and allow the Spirit of God to change my thinking process. And when I think change my process, then the things of God will come to manifest in my life. I quoted Joshua 1:8. Turn to Psalm 1 again. And like I say, these are just basic scriptures. Because if we don't have a foundation, sometimes we think, because people have been in church for a while, they understand, they know scriptures. But then if you get these scriptures and you go back and you begin to look at them and allow the Spirit of God to speak to you personally. It's a personal thing for every one of us. It's not something that just like you have to receive Jesus for yourself. Well, the Word of God, you have to receive that for yourself and begin to operate in it. Here in Psalm 1, verse It's a beginning at verse 1. I read 3 verses here. It says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, not stand in the way of sinners, not sit in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doeth he meditate day and night. So there it is again. You can connect that. Let's connect the scriptures again. Joshua 1:8. And so he said, this is two of them. That's by 2 or 3 witnesses. Let every word be established. So hear it again. He said, you meditate in it day and night. And then in verse 3 say, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of waters, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. That's an awesome statement there. That's the word of God. He said, if you begin to do this, what did James say? James told us, he said, we should not be just hearers of the word. He said, but we should also be doers of the word. So if you hear God saying that I should take the word of God and I should meditate in it day and night, so I can make my, it, no matter what it is, if it's the Spirit of God give you a particular passage of scripture, you've been seeking him, you've been going through a situation, and so you want a sign, you want a miracle, you want God to do something in your life. If he bring a scripture up to you, that becomes your word from God. It's not like God just dropped out of heaven, but he dropped a word into your spirit. So what you're going to do is take that word and begin to meditate it. And you're going to meditate. You're going to make your way prosperous. You're going to have good success in the situation that you're going through because you've been seeking God for something. And that becomes your word. It may come out of the apostle's mouth. And, you know, when you come in, you've been praying, you've been seeking God. And so you say, God give you a word and that becomes your word. For instance, I just throw another one at you. Jeremiah 29:11. God said, for I know the thoughts and plans I have for you. Thoughts of peace and not of evil to bring you to an expected end. You're going through a situation. God said, I know what I have for you. I have thoughts of peace and not of evil to bring you to an expected end. That means that God said, everything I got for you is good. And so if it's good, then what I got for you, if you know what I'm saying to you, then I'm going to bring you to that. If you notice, everything that God says is always good. It's never, never, never bad what God is saying. And so what we do as we're training, as we're learning in the things of God, and we begin to operate in this kingdom the way God set up. God desired those who don't yet know him to come into a relationship with him where the primary emphasis is love and not merely service. I'm just giving you some more pointers. And so we say, well, I can't operate in that love. Romans 5:5 say, hope making not ashamed, for the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. So that's our helper. He's the one going to help us operate in this kingdom. So we begin to lean on the Holy Spirit, rely on him, expect him to shine light on these various scriptures that we heard. So we can not just now our mind, our spirits has been renewed, but now also he's going to help me to renew my mind. Father God, we thank you, we praise you and give you glory, Father God. We thank you, Father, as we've given your word out tonight to your people. We thank you, Father, they're no longer just hearers, but they become doers of your word. We give you praise and glory in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen.